This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Danny Baskett, I'm Jeff Phelps. Danny Green was just with us. He's our Odyssey NBA insider. Love chatting with Danny. And the fact that Danny was here and knows a lot about the Cavs and certainly NBA champion, played with LeBron, just great insight into things. He said, if you're the Indiana Pacers, you attack the smalls. That means Darius Garland. That means Donovan Mitchell. The two guys who can turn around and light you up for about 60. So, Andy, that'll be something to watch. And that's something to watch in any playoff series the Cavs play. You know, that's where a coach is immediately going to think, well, we got Halliburton. Can Darius keep up with Halliburton? How do you match that up? How do you scheme it? It'll be interesting to see how Rick Carlisle plays that. It'll be interesting to see how Kenny Atkinson plays it defensively. And then flip it, and you'll have the same type of thing. You know, who can keep up with who can keep up with Darius and Donovan when they have the basketball? But I still think Evan Mobley has to be a major contributor on offense in this series, because I think he could have an advantage, especially with no starter for Indy other than Miles Turner being over 6'8". Pascal Siakam is 6'8". I wonder if they put Siakam at times on Jared Allen, and if that's a mismatch that the Cavs can exploit.
Which team should be more confident going into this?
Cavs.
I don't know. Indiana came out of that last series extremely confident.
Well, yes, for good reason.
Yeah.
But the Cavaliers, you know, the thing about it was Milwaukee was really trying to play and win. And for whatever reason, I've never seen a Miami team phone it in like this Heat team did in those last two games. I'm stunned. You know, I've sung the praises of the Miami Heat for a long time. I love their organization. Well, let me take that back. I've never cared for their organization. I have a ton of respect for their organization. Pat Riley knows what he's doing. Eric Spoelstra is a terrific coach. And I'm stunned at the way they played in games 3 and 4. There will be major changes on that team next year.
Yeah, especially after games 1. The Cavs just ripped out their soul in that series. Absolutely just ripped out their soul.
Oh, yeah. After the Heat didn't win one of the games in Cleveland when they had a chance in both games, and then they went down and fell behind in game 3, that was done. They were absolutely done.
That's the thing I love and hate about the playoffs, that you look and you see these series that sometimes go 4-2, but then you realize, like, there's always a pivotal point in a third quarter somewhere, and you're like, oh, that's where the series got away from them, right? And the Pacers experience, I just don't know, you know, they got whacked by the Celtics last year. I mean, they got swept.
Yeah, but they beat Milwaukee and they beat New York.
Yeah.
Those are two good teams that they took care of.
Yeah, I know.
They made it to the Eastern Conference Finals.
So I wonder how much that drives them this year, though, knowing that they walked away from the Eastern Conference Finals without a win last year. Like, how much is that driving them? How much is that inspiring them? How much? And then, you know, as we talked earlier, Mark Boyle talked about the psychological change, the philosophical change of the Pacers from the beginning of the season, realizing that they had to buy in to get to that next level, that it can't all be offense, and they got to figure out their defense to get them to the next point. I the closer we get to the games, the more I'm like, wow, this could be really, really good. But by the same token, I'm not going to back off on what the Cavs are and the way the Cavs have played, and I'm not going to belittle what they've done to get to this point. It's not their fault that Miami just fell apart. They're the reason they fell apart, right? They kicked them where it hurt, and so it's where you are now.
Mark Boyle's the Pacers play-by-play guy. He joined us at 11:20. If you missed that interview, go back, listen to it. It was really good. You can do that on the Odyssey app or at 92.3thefan.com. Kevin's in Cuyahoga Falls. Hey, Kev.
Hey, Kev.
Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Good, good.
Yeah, Cavs are awesome. I mean, that Miami series was really fantastic. And, I mean, really, I think if the Cavs play the style of basketball they play, I totally expect them to for us to match up against Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals. So, but really, when it comes to Indiana, the one guy that scares me is old Mr. Pascal there. I don't know what it is about that guy, but every time we've played them this year, the guy just goes crazy on us. And I guess I'm hoping Hunter's the answer to maybe defend him, you know, because, you know, Jeff, he's that dreaded 6'8", you know, 230-pound guy you are always worried about. And, man, if any team gives me a scare in the playoffs, it's them, because Indiana's they're kind of a longer team. They're kind of a bigger team. And again, I don't know what it is about Mr. Pascal, but, man, that guy just lights it up when we play him. And so far we haven't had an answer to slow him down too much. So I'm really hoping this playoffs they find defensively a way to slow him down and not let him tear us apart like he has in the regular season.
Kevin, it's going to be one of the fun things to watch in this series is that, you know, just that length that Indy has out at the guard spots and the two forward spots. But then they don't have somebody who you think can easily match up with Evan Mobley. You know, so it's like, okay, what does Kenny Atkinson decide to do there? Are you gonna feed Evan like absolute crazy and have him try to take advantage of Siakam? Or if they move Miles Turner on him, then are you gonna go to Jared Allen and alley-oop Siakam like crazy? I mean, there's some real coaching strategy that we're going to see on display in this series, and not just in game one. Look for the adjustments for game two, game three, and beyond. It's going to be, if you're a basketball purist, you're going to love that.
Yeah, and let me ask you, Jeff, do you think there's a chance we could see Hunter and Wade out at the same time just to kind of match up that length against them?
That's an interesting thought. Why not, right?
I think we've got to do something. Yeah. Well, I think Atkins is going to have to make some kind of an adjustment. I'm not sure we can leave Struss and Merrill out at the same time with only either Mobley or Allen out there. I'm not sure that jigs puzzle is going to work against Indiana because of their size and their length.
Yeah.
So I'm anticipating Hunter and Wade maybe being out there at the same time and maybe Struss and Merrill having to sacrifice a few minutes to facilitate that lineup for us.
And I wonder, how much does he play Evan Mobley and Jared Allen together? You know, it worked beautifully in the regular season. Is this a matchup where maybe that's not what you should do? I don't know, but we're going to find out on Sunday, Kevin.
It's going to be exciting. Go Cavs.
All right, buddy. Kevin and Cuyahoga Falls. You know, watch these two coaches, and they are two very good coaches. And Kenny Atkinson is terrific. Rick Carlisle, terrific. And they each have some weapons to deal with.
I do want to go back to one other thing that Danny had talked about, and we were talking about LeBron with him.
Yeah.
And he said
LeBron can still play.
Yeah.
But he said you also probably don't want a 40-year-old as your first or second option on a team. Right now, LeBron's clearly the 1 or 1A. You know, with Luka being new, I would say it was still LeBron's team this year. I don't think it's LeBron's team next year, do you? Not if Luke is there.
No, it can't be. It can't. Not if they want to win.
I would think you're right.
I mean, he's got to decide what he wants to do there. I do think you were right, though, just about him being able to stretch out the Q score, I guess, on it. Just the ability to be able to stretch out an entire summer of having people wonder what he's going to do next. And, I got to sit back and figure out what I want to do. And all that does is drive storylines, clicks, and more stories about LeBron. So
can I throw this one thought at you?
Hmm?
You surprised at this? If LeBron plays next year for the Lakers, it'll be his longest continuous stretch with one team. He played 7 years, the first 7 years of his career with the Cavs.
Right.
He has now played 7 years with the Los Angeles Lakers. No. Isn't that hard to believe? That feels funny.
He goes there, it's pandemic, they do their thing in the bubble. I don't know.
Next year will be his eighth as a Los Angeles Laker.
I mean,
if he's there.
I don't know. Maybe because he left here after winning a championship, but I just think Laker LeBron just will never, ever match up to Cav LeBron.
I would agree. He did spend 11 seasons here total.
Yeah.
So. I don't imagine he would play.
Does he have to wear a jersey to get in the Hall of Fame?
I don't imagine that he'll play, what, 8, 9, 10, 11, 4 more years to play 11 seasons with the Lakers. Then again,
you never know.
It's LeBron. Yeah. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan.